Board of Assessment Review Appointment. We have one opening on the Board of Assessment Review, which is a board that hears appeals by the public for 15 days, beginning in early March. And there is one opening in Mr. Wilson's district for that, and currently the individual that is serving is Mr. Lester Beachy. The board meets 15 days as per county code, and they're paid $75 per day each for their attendance. They hear appeals on the assessments, the property assessments. They also hear appeals on front foot assessments for sewer bills, and that's typically the last few years, that's been the main, most of their hearings have been about that front foot assessment.
Give us a kind of an example of what one of their days is like. Do they come in and just sit here all day and wait for somebody to come in? Are there appointments made? Or do they have full days or meet with one guy and can go home early? How's it work?
They have both. They have appointments in that, you know, they'll set a time and an individual will come in and make their case and whatnot. They also hear, if someone comes, just walks right in that day, they'll hear it. They're not busy. I mean, now when we do a reassessment, they'll be very busy. But right now, they hear very few appeals.
Okay, so what do they just come in, sit in a room for all day, and see what happens?
Pretty much, yes.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that
now by code they're allowed, they're required to be here for 15 particular, 15 days beginning. I don't know, March 1st or 2nd, something like that.
I mean, is there a better way maybe to shorten the hours? I mean, does it have to be a full day? I mean, or is there anything, Jim, that's any ordinance or law that requires us a certain procedure? Because it seems like with the activity we get, it's torture to sit there all day, probably nothing much happening.
Well, they are required to sit during that 15-day period to be available to hear appeals, and people can just stop in. So I don't know how to.
I don't know if we could make that 15-day period, though, say 8 to 10 or 8 to 12 or something like that. Does it have to be 8 to 4:30? Is it posted anywhere? How does that work, David? I mean, is there when you announce
it? Is advertised that the Board of Assessment will be. It is publicly advertised.
Okay.
That they will meet.
So we could establish shorter hours.
I would, we can take a look at the code.
Or options, maybe have morning sessions, afternoon sessions, and stuff like that. I'm just.
But you're really talking 3 weeks, five work days, mm-hmm. over a period of 3 weeks, and you're talking the. Although it may seem like a lot of money, it works out to about $375 a week or $1,125.
That's what I'm saying. It seems to me to get people to do that for that kind of money and put in that kind of time, we may be able to solve the same, meet our requirements and just do it a half a day for 15 days or just post the hours, not. I mean, it doesn't appear to me from, like I said, I'm aware of what goes on there, and it just doesn't seem to. That we need to have an 8-hour day for one person to show up.
Do you have problems with somebody want to serve, George?
No. Just it's hard to get people to do it sometimes.
Mr. Wilson, have you got an appointment that's ready to serve?
Yes, sir.
Okay, could you introduce that appointment, and we'll see.
Mr. Lester Beachy.
Yeah, Lester.
Okay. Is there a second for that appointment?
I'll second it.
Mm-hmm. And we have a motion and a second to reappoint Mr. Beachy to the Board of Assessment Review Committee. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll call the question. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And then the last item is the administrator's report, and hand that out. First item is, again, a copy of the Delaware State Police report for December. As per the attached, 3,711 complaints were handled during the month of December. 1,327 criminal arrests were made, plus 2,809 traffic arrests by the during the month by the Delaware State Police in Sussex County. The next item is bill approval list on the county website. The county finance department is working to make available the weekly bill approval list on the county website. We expect completion of this project in February, whereby listing of bills paid to outside vendors will be available on the website to further open government. This list will show payment amounts to vendors and contractors for services and supplies. And this was a suggestion by the county council, and we will make it available on the website. It's what we will do is post it on Wednesdays following the Tuesday council meeting, and it's basically the list that you see without some of, if we will take off of their dental reimbursements and whatnot for employees due to HIPAA regulations.
Vision,
so that's private,
so,
you know, yeah, that sort of thing.
And
so,
David, my next suggestion, there's no reason to mail it out to us. It will save a few dollars. Save a few dollars by putting that in our packages.
Yes.
I don't think many people are sitting around reading all that. We can
I
mail.
Do.
Well, that's good. Good. You need something to do.
Continue, Mr. Baker.
Retired, okay. Got nothing to do.
The next item is Blue Hand Organics conditional use number 1793 update. Attached is a copy of the decibel report submitted by Blue Hand Organics. This report was requested by the County Council on January 13, 2009. The public hearing will now, as per your instructions, remain open for the public to comment on this report regarding noise levels for an additional 2 weeks, which would end at the close of business on February 10th, 2009. So we wanted to make you aware and make the public aware of that
well, since we're not experts, Dave, is somebody going to interpret this for us? Was it high, low, okay? I mean, what? Anybody know? Or is it just the report now? We got a report.
We could.
Well, it does show comparison.
Different
thing for noise levels in your house versus at work or recreation.
Mr. Griffin, this would be something we would discuss following the close of the public record.
Yes,
okay.
It was, the applicant was asked to give that report that would show the decibel level at the boundaries of the property and the extent to which noise might be projected beyond the boundaries.
But we have no ability to interpret this. We have.
But this is what we asked.
Okay, I know. Do we have somebody, David, on our staff or Mike, do you have anybody that can tell us if this is noisy, not noisy, or?
Well, anybody can measure, you know, it's a device that you can Right.
Right. I know we got all the facts, and just could somebody interpret this report for us?
I haven't seen it.
Okay. Well, if it's possible, I mean, just somebody ought to be able to, because I don't know if we got the ability to.
We'll take a look at it and
say, "Oh, this is not noisy. Oh, it's okay."
Do compare it to normal things like a lawnmower running and that type of thing.
Tractor and a grinder.
Tractor, grinder. So
power
they do
salt.
Give some comparisons.
So, George, I invite you out to the farm sometime so you can hear my tractor run.
Well, thank you, Sam. That's very nice of you. You're a gentleman and a scholar.
Continue,
I've
Mr.
always
Baker.
Said that.
Okay. South Coastal Library update. The South Coastal Library, temporarily located in Millville, will be closed effective February 2nd, 2009, to enable staff to move books, shelving, computers, etc., to the new expanded location on Kent Avenue in Bethany Beach. The expanded library will more than double in size from just under 10,000 square feet to approximately 23,000 square feet. So, and the bookmobile will be available at the Millville location 3 days a week during this interim time period.
And Dave, did you explain to the new members it's tradition that they help move the books?
He said to assist you.
Does the council have any other issues for consideration by the county administrator at this time or in the future? If not, we'd ask Susan Webb, the director of finance, for her report.
Thank you. I'm going to discuss the 2008 private activity volume cap reassignment back to the state. The state has sent me their annual reminder for private activity volume cap reassignment. This is typically an annual request from the state that we do annually. They're asking if any portion of the $26,210,000 in 2008 volume cap assigned to the county can be reassigned back to the state for reallocation to and carried forward by the Delaware State Housing Authority. During 2008, The county has not received any applications, and there are currently no projects that would use this allocation. If the council agrees, we would reallocate these bonds back to the Delaware State Housing Authority to be used primarily for single-family mortgage programs. We will be notified in February of the 2009 allocation, and it is 10% of the total Delaware allowance. There's not any questions. I have a motion. Or
are there any questions for our finance director?
I guess, Susan, you're saying that nobody applied to use any of this bond money?
No. I have gotten some, our finance bond attorney has called with some general questions about possibly, but the market is really, there's not a lot out there going on right now. So I get about 4 or 5 questions a year of calls to see, you know, more information about how we do this, but nothing has ever gone further than just an inquiry to an application or anything.
So historically, we've never utilized it. The council's never utilized it.
We've used it, David, in the past. There's Cadbury's a project, and
yes, on a number of projects. Mm-hmm. But the federal tax laws are so strict right now. But basically, you can use it for manufacturing, and it's pretty much limited to manufacturing. And what happens is that we would receive an application. The Industrial Revenue Bond Committee would review it and then make a recommendation to the county council. And this is the bonding authority. It's not the actual bond. The bonds have not been issued.
No.
It's basically the bonding authority of up to $27 million that they allocated to Sussex. And so plus there's a new allocation for 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do get a request, and say the request was unusual and was very high, we would go back to the state, ask for some of that authority back, and they've indicated to us in the past that they would be glad to, you know, reauthorize it back to Sussex County.
How do we advertise this?
It's when we have economic development inquiries, especially with manufacturing companies, we try to bring it up, because it's certainly the company would actually borrow the money, but our name is on the bond.
Right.
We're not responsible, but the company, the benefit to the company is they're able to borrow at a tax exempt rate.
Right. Okay.
And also, if you had a company that was interested in this, in this location, they would contact their finance attorney, who would contact our finance attorney, and they would work that way too. They would know this would be available to them in a state. You can also use it for the 501c3 bonds, which are the nonprofits, like a hospital type thing, and the Delaware State Housing Authority. But it is kind of stringent on what these bonds may be used for.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Baker, traditionally we've been reactive in this process when someone inquires. Is there an opportunity for us to task our economic development director to be proactive in trying to find homes for these bonds?
That is a good point. Perhaps we could contact companies that in Sussex County that may be eligible for, you know, given their that we know what we know about their business, that may be eligible for that would be eligible for this program. That, mm-hmm. I will ask Mrs. Wheatley to contact companies like Pat's and maybe Purdue and Allen's and so on to try to, and Vista to see if they would, so that they at least have this, they know this is an option out there for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be put on the website.
All right, Ms. Webb, I believe there is no further discussion, at least at this point.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves reassigning its 2008 private activity volume cap $26,210,000 to the state of Delaware.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. The motion read by our finance director. Is there any discussion?
I'm not going to vote on this because I just got this information and I want to look into it some more, so I'm going to abstain and tell you in advance. You know, I want to know more about this. This is very important to me.
Is there any interest in those who have made the motion to defer this for a week?
Is there any is time of the essence on doing this right now, David?
They have to They have to file with the U.S. Treasury by mid-February.
Okay.
So it kind of one of those that local government, state government, it layers up to the great big volume cap.
I'm just saying.
If time's not of the essence, I don't care. You want to look into it?
Being no objection, we withdraw the motion and ask the county administrator to defer on this for 1 week and the county finance director.
You give her some more information.
Yeah, I happen to have something right here that I think.
Well, let's give it a week. Sometimes it's good to stay on this stuff.
Not right this minute. I'm not going to read it.
Thank you, Ms. Deaver. Is there anything else, Ms. Webb?
No, thank you.
Moving on in old business, I'll turn this over to our Director of Planning and Zoning, Lawrence Lane.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
We have one item of old business this morning. It is conditional use number 1754, the application of John J. Straholik and James G. Straholik. With an application up near Redden for a boat storage facility. It's an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a boat storage facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 9.39 acres, more or less, lying at the northwest corner of U.S. Route 113 and Road 565, also known as Deer Forest Road. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on December 11th of 2008. We had heard comments from DLDOT County Engineering Department and the Sussex Conservation District. A friend of the applicant was present on the applicant's behalf and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Johnson expressed some concerns about the lack of information in the record. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied due to the lack of record of support to the application. The county council public hearing was January 13th, whereby you were given that same report I just summarized. The applicant was present, Mr. John Straholik was present and gave testimony. The basics of the testimony related to the clearing of the areas to be set aside for the storage area. The site's approximately 9 acres, which a good majority of it would be used for storage of boats. And he's more specifically started in his presentation to reference boats, small boats and jet skis or personal watercraft. And by the time he finished, he was just addressing jet skis and personal watercraft again. And what council did was defer action and ask me to prepare some suggestions for possible reasons and possible conditions of approval if the council so chose to approve this application. I believe everybody has a copy of my report.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I did, I prepared some reasons and some suggested conditions and stipulations, which I'll read. These are for purpose of discussion. You can approve, delete, revise, whatever you so choose. In reference to reasons, the site is appropriate for the proposed use, a boat storage facility, due to its location in close proximity to U.S. Route 113, thereby serving as a centralized location for the storage of small boats and personal watercraft, and eliminating some of the need for individuals to haul their boats and personal watercraft long distances. The proposed use meets the purpose of the conditional use ordinance, since it will serve the existing needs and convenience of the residents in the area by providing boat storage for local communities. The proposed use is of a public or semi-public character and is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the area. The project, with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community, and thereby establish that the use could have restrictions, conditions, and stipulations. And number one, the site plan shall be subject to all appropriate agency approvals prior to review and approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Two, the boats stored outdoors on the site shall be limited to small boats on trailers with no more than a single axle, and personal watercraft and, example, jet ski on trailers or in racks designed for the storage of such personal watercraft. If storage racks are used, the personal watercraft shall be no higher than the fencing required. Three, the storage areas shall not be utilized for the storage of automotive vehicles, recreational vehicles, or campers, manufactured homes, large boats, and an example, pontoon boats, sailboats on the site. Four, the proposed building shall be used for an office and indoor storage of the small boats or personal watercraft. The building shall not be utilized as a retail sales facility. Four, light repairs relating to winterizing of the small boats and personal watercraft may be permitted. All work shall be performed indoors. There shall be no maintenance of boats, personal watercraft, or vehicles outdoors. Six, the storage area shall be surrounded by a minimum forested buffer width of 30 feet along U.S. Route 113 and along all adjacent property lines, excepting for the easterly property line along lands of Gary E. Timmons and Linda S. Timmons. Seven, the storage area shall be fenced on the inside of the required buffer with chain link fencing with a minimum height of 7 feet. Eight, the boat storage area will only be open during daylight hours. Nine, all persons visiting the storage area shall be accompanied by representatives of the applicant unless the applicant provides an electronic card gate access system for access. 10, if security lighting is provided, all lighting shall be downward illuminated so as to not negatively impact neighboring properties or traveling motorists on U.S. Route 113 or Deer Forest Road. 11, screening or fencing with a minimum height of 6 feet shall be provided along the easterly property line of the aforementioned Timmons lands to visually screen lights from vehicles to and from the site. The screening or fencing shall be set back at least 25 feet from the front property line. And 12, the driveway to the boat storage area and the boat storage area shall be stoned. Have any questions about what else, my suggestions?
Any member of council have a question?
Yeah, I do. I know that he's going to be clearing a lot of trees, and I'm wondering about the stormwater management on the property. You know, having lived here a long time now, I notice when you cut a tree down, you get floods. At least we do, anyway.
The trees have already been cleared.
They've already been cleared. I wonder what his surface is going to be.
Well, he stated that his surface would be stone.
Stone. Okay.
So it wouldn't be, it would be somewhat impervious, but it's not totally impervious because the water will penetrate.
Well, I've found from experience in boatyards that that doesn't work for very well, and you find yourself in a lot of muck. But my concern is the stormwater management. Is that something that we need to comment on?
The very first stipulation I wrote includes all agencies, and that would be that we do.
Do they get involved in that? They're going to get involved in that.
In some case, we list them specifically, but in this case, we ask for all. All appropriate would be DLDOT, DNREC, Conservation District.
So they'll look into that.
Fire Marshal.
Okay.
They're the primary four.
Fine. Just want to ask that question. This is on Route 113, and it's a high-speed road, and I'm hoping that, you know, people will use that road in lieu of Route 1 to go down to the more southern parts of the coast. I'm wondering if we could get his structure a little farther back off the road for improvements, say in the future, if we have, I don't want to have another Route 1 there where we have little pieces of commercial zoning one by one with no service road. I'm wondering if we can get him back a little bit back further off the road to provide for future expansion and development for future development.
Well, he has no access to Route 1.
I know he doesn't.
113, he has access to Deer Forest.
I know he doesn't, but that road is important too. You know, I live on Plantation Road where the houses are 10 feet from the road, so I don't want us to repeat that mistake.
His proposal, I was scared, but you could put a place of condition that he be any distance from Route 113 for his building. Right now he's proposing to be 70.
Mm-hmm. And 70 feet?
Right. Mm-hmm. To the building itself, the building's 40 by 100, and there's a, just without a scale, it's probably 100 feet to the, well, it would be 80 basically, 80 feet to the property line to the west.
Okay.
So he's got room to move it.
Okay, I see.
And it could be a condition of council to have a minimum setback from 113.
Have you been to see this, Joan?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been up there. It's right down from my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I talked to the neighbors. No complaints from any of them. It's set, as far as I'm concerned, it's got a woods all the way around it, except for the front side. Personally, I don't even know why the lights are there unless it's for his benefit. A lot of these things are, to me, we're just overkill this thing here. And to me, as I look at it, I don't see nothing but strong pulling boats in there.
Yeah, I don't have any objection to the
use. One fellow told me, I don't even see nothing wrong with if you want to pull a battleship in there. I don't really see anything wrong with this. I don't, it's just, we're making something out of nothing here to me. That's what it's meant to me.
Well, the applicant, Sam, said he only wanted small boats.
Well, it's okay, but I'm saying, there's no big deal in this, George, if you want to pull a dual-axle trailer in there. I've been looking at this. I don't see nothing wrong with it myself.
Well, nobody's made a big deal.
We have stipulations and conditions on the table. If someone feels compelled, they can make a motion to modify them.
Sure.
We appreciate the discussion, but we'll try to keep moving.
What we requested that we try to do is take what we hear at the public hearings and try to utilize that in creating a stipulation so that it was part of the record at the time.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the suggested reasons and conditions that, as presented here by our staff.
Second motion.
Makes very sensible.
I have a motion and a second to adopt the conditions stipulations as presented by the Planning and Zoning Director, Mr. Lank. Is there anything else you'd like to comment on?
Did he get through the total stipulations?
He did get through all 12, I believe.
Well, what are we doing to adopt them before we get through them?
He did get through all
12. Oh, he
did? 12.
Okay. Yeah, I misunderstood.
He's covered all of them.
I read all 13. Or 12, excuse me.
Does the council have any further discussion about these reasons and conditions for approval?
No, as far as if you feel like it's going to be back off both of those roads, that there's room for expansion of the roads and for safe access, then I'm satisfied.
The right of way of Route 113 there is 200 foot.
Okay. All right.
And Del Dot didn't reference anything, I don't believe.
Yeah, but we are responsible for coordinating with DelDOT, and the people expect us to do it, and we want to provide for expansion and further development.
Okay. Mr. Vincent, have you any comments?
I don't understand what you mean by further development.
Well, it looks like a beautiful place for commercial uses, as far as I'm concerned. I'm just saying we should do it right. That's
you're
all.
You're actually sitting here making an argument. You're against this development. You're for further development.
Not against any development.
I don't understand where you're going.
I'm not against it.
Could I ask Mr. Wilson, you have the floor. Mr. Vincent?
The only question I'm sure, Mark, you have met with this gentleman and gone over these things with him.
I met with Mr. Strolick Wednesday or Thursday last week.
Okay, that's fine.
And told him the basics of what I was preparing.
Mr. Cole?
I have no comments.
Okay, we'll take the vote then. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lane.
Lawrence, I do have a question about, not for this application, but along route 113 in that area and different things. Interconnectability, you know how we start adopting these things. Is there, DelDOT, have they got any concerns about, as we see commercial development creep up in that part of that area, which we haven't minimal right now, should we, as a condition, require applicants to
yes.
provide interconnectability so
yes.
we can have service roads and different things for our future.
I think we should do that on residential and this kind of thing.
Well, interconnectability here is residential development surrounds this site, specifically on Deer Forest Road and 213 just to the west. So they're all strip lots. They're all back right up to this site. Mm-hmm. The only interconnectability for service would be the parcel just to the north, which fronts on Redden Road, which is Route 40.
What about the other side?
I'm just thinking of just commercial development in general.
This is approximately half of the frontage between Deer Forest and Redden Road, which mm-hmm. is Route 40, and then 113's on the east side of it. So there's basically, there'll be interconnection between two sites at the most.
If I could ask the council, maybe we could suggest Mr. Lank looks into this issue and we can place it on a future agenda if the council.
Sure. Just have write a letter maybe to DelDOT asking if they'd like us to start.
I can,
because
pull,
if we'd have done it on Route 1,
I can pull the U.S. Route 113 study and see what they had proposed. Okay. And we would have something from past. That's, and they're basically on hold with that.
Okay. Could I ask?
Working more towards Millbrook.
Could I ask Mr. Lank maybe to run that by the council before any letter goes out on your letterhead to DelDOT? Thank
no
you.
Problem.
Mr. President?
Yes, Mr. Griffin.
I think the council just voted to approve possible conditions.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
there
we
should
did.
Be a motion on the conditional use.
Thank you, sir. Do I have a motion to approve conditional use 1754?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second to approve conditional use 1754, and I thank the county attorney earn your money today. Ms. Diva?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
With the condition.
With the condition, excuse mm-hmm. me. Now you're pushing it. Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson? Mr. Wilson?
No vote.
No vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
And I vote yes.
Guess he didn't like it.
Grant request.
Only one today, Laurel Little League.
And who is that request made of?
In general, we've had Mr. Dukes or Mr. Phillips contribute to their organization.
I think Mr.
It is not addressed to anyone in particular.
I think Mr. Vincent and I are prepared to support that.
I'll make a motion that we take $250 from Councilman Phillips and from myself for a total of $500.
Second.
Have a motion and a second to give $250 from my account, $250 from Mr. Vincent's account to the Laurel Little League for ground improvements. Is there any discussion? If not, I'll call the question. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Thank you.
Any additional business brought before the council, I'd ask our public information officer to provide me with a sign-up sheet of folks who desire to speak to the council at this time.
Is the shed ordinance off? Shed ordinance, is that off?
We'll be looking at the shed ordinance this afternoon.
Okay.
About 2 o'clock, I would guess. Mm-hmm. I'll take it. I'd like to call Tina Thurgood forward, please. Good morning.
Hi,
Tina.
Good morning. I'm Tina Thurgood, Milton, Delaware, and I apologize the way I'm dressed. I wasn't expecting to get up here and speak today. I'm a title searcher with a local law firm, and 3 minutes isn't going to be long enough, so I can type up something for you guys to read later, because we got a memo from John Brady this morning about the Clean Hands Ordinance. I understand exactly what the council is trying to do, collect their tax bills and finding different ways to get that accomplished. I want to bring to your attention this memo about us printing out the tax inquiry form for every document recorded. We have to pay 30 cents a page to do that. We're wasting one piece of paper every time we do that. We've had to do it for the county to know whether something's in town or not in town limits. Wasted another piece of paper and had to pay 30 cents every time we record something. Now they're saying we don't have to do that one, so obviously they don't care about whether something's in town or not, but they're more concerned whether the taxes are paid or not. Mm. My contention, and Mr. Griffin can confirm this, is any real estate settlement, the taxes are always collected. There's no question about it. That's the first thing we do when we have a settlement. Either you're refining, modifying, selling something, whatever, the taxes always have to be paid before settlement. It's a non-issue with what we record. You are not going to collect taxes by us doing this for you. It's a waste of paper. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of your employees' times to do this. When you go into the website of the county, not the AS400 that we have access to, but off the internet, you cannot even get this form to send in when people would be mailing in documents. So my question to you, are you going to have your employees at the Recorder of Deeds print one out for every mail-in? if a mail-in comes in and doesn't have it, are you going to pay to mail that back to the people and tell them it's wrong and make them mail it back? It's going to cost you more money than you're going to collect, I can tell you right now. I'm not trying to tell you you're wrong. I'm just trying to give you a little information. The time frame between when the county tax actually is noted on the screen and the time it's payable, if it's due, is it we're not able to collect? If the mortgage company has paid it, but it's not marked paid on the screen for a month, are you not going to record it? There's a lot of things you guys need to think about with this ordinance you're trying to enforce. Like I said, I can type all this up so you guys can read it, but I understand I pay my taxes. I would like everybody else to pay their taxes. I would like to keep, you know, the revenue up in this county. That's not what I'm trying to do here. What I'm trying to tell you is what you're trying to enforce is not going to work. Basically, you need your tax office to start pushing on the munition sales or something if you're trying to collect your taxes.
Okay. Ms. Thorogood, your timing is impeccable. We are certainly looking for ways to save money, and I would invite you to take the time, if you would, and type that up and offer it to our county.
Like I said, it's a lot to say in 3 minutes, and I work down there, so I know kind of exactly what's going on. And
but it's all tax collection.
Mr. Cole, our rules of order only allow the presiding officer to speak.
Sorry. I'm new at this.
Ms. Thorogood, if you could go ahead and put that down and offer it to the county administrator. It may very well be a topic that we'd like to put on a future agenda, and if so, we would invite you to come again and maybe
share
some.
And I'll dress a little better next time.
No,
I apologize.
You're fine.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just feel at home.
The next one is John Brady, our recorder of deeds.
Didn't realize I was going to be talking about my memo of about an hour and a half ago. The purpose of that memorandum was that utility billing was not showing up. When there were engineering fees, when there were planning and zoning violations that had been assessed and those fines had not been paid, it was not showing up on the tax information sheet I implemented to cut down on the request of the finance director on the refund checks we were sending out, because people were not knowing if the properties were in a town or not. So we worked with the county information department, and Eddie Sparpignoglia, I know I mispronounced it, he's not up here now, he'll hear about it later, to come up and change the sheet I was using to a different sheet that would have those other violations along with the taxes to implement the Clean Hands Ordinance that was passed last year. So now, the one information sheet that they have to pay the 30 cents for, and that when we bill out, people coming who mail it in, put the extra 30 cents in to get that printed out, and my staff sometimes has to do that, does provide now, in addition to printing out overdue county taxes, it prints out all violations and holds for that tax map and parcel number in order to comply with the Clean Hands Ordinance. And that is the purpose of why I changed that form around. And if we need to do slight modifications, we will. The County Information Department is working on putting all those violations online so they can be searched online when the online searches are coming through. In addition, we are going to be going, and you will be receiving a letter in your packet next week from Mr. Baker, a letter I just wrote, about putting deeds and mortgages and other documents on the internet. We now have been scanning back to 2000. We're trying to do 10 years a month. And so we will be putting that library of documents available and allow people to download documents at either a per document fee or a monthly subscription fee. This will cut down the work downstairs. The last thing I wanted to do was challenge you all. I asked Mr. Baker yesterday to furlough me for 3 days. I'd still come to work, but take back 3 days of my pay. It's where public servants have to put their mouth where their money is. So I'm encouraging all of you to set the example and furlough 3 days of your payback, both this current fiscal year and the next fiscal year, And I look forward to the form so I can execute that so we can get that done. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to entertain a motion to recess to executive session.
So moved.
For the reasons of personnel and pending and potential litigation. I have a motion by Ms. Deaver.
Second.
Second by Mr. Cole. Is there any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.